This is part B of the Feast of Tabernacles, day number one. Now let's continue on with, let's come to Isaiah, the second chapter, please, page 505. And here we find how Christ is going to lead in setting up the governments around the world, which will all be under him. They will all be sub-governments, and we will be the ones who will be in charge. Now let's pick it up here, Isaiah 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass. Now let's understand something. Whenever it says it shall come to pass, it will happen. In God's plan, according to his timing, according to the way that he institutes it, it's going to take place. Now when? In the last days. And of course, this is going to be after the return of Jesus Christ. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. So, the government of God, which is on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and we're the ones who are going to carry it out, we're the ones who are going to rule over countries and rule over cities and rule over towns, we're the ones who are going to administer all the laws and commandments of God around the world for all people. Now, it's not going to take place instantly. God is going to let some people think that they can get away with things. But it's not going to happen. Remember what it says there, that if they don't come up to the Feast of Tabernacles, then if it's in a dry country like Egypt, they're going to get the plague. And if it's in another country, there's going to be no rain. So in other words, there's no one going to go around saying, what's this Feast of Tabernacles all about? Not like today. You know, people hear Feast of Tabernacles and they raise the eyebrow and they look at you and they think, whoa, that's kind of strange. But they think nothing of lies of Christmas and, you know, chocolate Easter bunnies and Easter and all that sort of thing. But to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, that's strange. Well, what we are doing, brethren, in keeping it, we are preparing for the millennium. We are developing the character of God. And we are going to rule and reign with Christ. Let's read on here. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Everything is going to come from the nations into Jerusalem and out of Jerusalem. And we're going to teach people what world government really is. And we're going to teach them, you know, I'll take a little theme from Obama's campaign. Change you can believe in. And change that is real, and change that is coming. It will be there. Here's what's going to happen. There are going to be some people who will be willing and cooperative and want God's way. They will have suffered enough. They're going to say, no more suffering, no more pain, no more war, no more plague. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. What do you think God is going to teach them? The laws of God, the commandments of God, the feasts of God. Yes, indeed. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now that's the category of people that are willing. So there will be some that will come, and they will say, O Lord, forgive us for our sins. just like you have forgiven Israel for their sins. And help us. Give us your laws. Give us your way. Teach us. You'll say, okay, you go there, you go there, you go there, to all of those who are part of the government of God, the resurrected saints. Yes, indeed. Won't that be exciting? Won't that be tremendous? We go out and help people clear away all the rubble and debris. Make sure that all the idols are destroyed. No secret little things behind the scenes or in the groves or on top of hills anymore. No, 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 no. That won't happen. See? Now, here's the other category of nations. Verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people. Because, see, repentance comes very hard for some people. Very difficult for some nations. Do you think all the hordes of the East are going to repent just, oh, bam, and say, oh, glad Jesus is here? No, they're going to say, whoever this is that has come from outer space has deprived us of our power to rule over the world. And they will see that everybody is going to be at peace and they're going to come. And then God is going to have his judgment against them. And with the downfall of them, Gog and Magog and Meshach and Tubal and all the kings of the north and the east, when they are totally defeated, perhaps in about the seventh year of the millennium, then all the resistance from any of the nations is going to be put to an end. See, so God gives them a time and space of repentance. God gives them a time of choice. Some are going to say, oh, let's go to God and learn. Others are going to say, I don't know about that. So, guess what's going to happen? Okay, after he rebukes them, and they shall, there's that word again, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And when are the children taught war? From the very first toy they get, right? Yes, indeed. And there won't be any more cartoons. And there won't be any more satanic influence on the world. All wiped away with the restoration of all things. So that's quite a thing, isn't it? Let's come to Isaiah 61. And let's see again another description of what the millennium is going to be like, and also describing about us, what we're going to be like, what we're going to do. Okay? Isaiah 61. Now here is the complete fulfillment. Here is how, in fulfilling these prophecies, while this was quoted by Jesus in Nazareth in the synagogue during his ministry on earth. But nevertheless, it's not going to be completed until the beginning of the millennium, and then that will carry through all the millennium. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord... The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What do you think the law coming out of Zion is going to be? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and of course that the world is going to be filled with brokenhearted, wounded, destroyed people. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to those who are bound. Just think what a great thing that's going to be. That we can, God says, go over here to this prison. I want you and you and you to go over to this prison. I want you to zap the guards, open the doors, take out all the people, give them an opportunity to repent, let them know Christ is on the earth. The government of God is coming from Jerusalem. Fantastic thing, right? Yes. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. and all means all. To appoint to those who mourned in Zion, giving to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So that's going to be something, isn't it? And brethren, I want you to understand, I want you to grasp this never before, because every Feast of Tabernacles, I want you to learn more about what's going to happen. I want you to grasp more what it's going to be like to serve and rule and reign with Christ. I want you to think what a tremendous thing that this is going to be and how fantastic that it is going to be. Yes, notice, we're going to help them do this, verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes. They're going to work. And I saw a special on the defeat of Germany in World War II and the destruction of Berlin by the Allies and by the Russians. And I tell you, everything was demolished. It's going to be worse than that because the skeleton of those buildings were still standing. All the buildings are going to be flat when we start the millennium. So they're going to have to get out there and clean it away. And the very first order of business that the Allies did for the German cities was put everyone to work. Huh? Yes, indeed. Everyone. You're going to pick up the bricks and you're going to clean them off. And you're going to get rid of the steel over here. And you're going to get rid of this fallen down building over here. And you're going to get rid of the broken glass over here. And you're going to bury the dead bodies over here. That's the work we're going to have, see? They will raise up the desolations of former times, and they will repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. So that's going to be quite a thing. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the son of strangers will be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Now here's the message for us. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord. It will be said of you, the ministers of our God, and you will eat the riches of the Gentiles, and you will boast in their glory. Now think about that. Don't you suppose that God is going to institute tithing? Yes, indeed, that's part of his law, correct? Who are they going to tithe to? To us. And then we, in turn, tithe to God. So you think about this for just a minute now. If you don't believe in tithing today, what makes you so sure that you're going to be able to administer things in the kingdom of God when God is going to institute the tithe? Because he gave it in the first place, correct? And is that not part of receiving blessings from God? Is that not part of God opening the windows of heaven to pour out blessings upon him? Of course! Yes, indeed. For your shame, that is, as being a Christian in this world, that's a shameful thing. They hate you, they despise you, they will kill you. For your shame, you shall have double. Instead of dishonor, they will rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their own land, they will possess double. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Now, that's what we're going to institute. So forget about the politics of this world. Forget about all the nonsense. Well, if Obama would do this, or if the Republicans would do that, or if the Democrats would do this, or if the British would do that, or if the Germans would do this, or if the Iranians would do the other thing, or the Saudi Arabians would do something else. Wait. It won't be done until Christ returns. Then they will be willing. Now, if they're not willing, they will become willing. because God has the power to make them willing. And either they will conform or they will die. No two ways around it. Now, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. So he's going to bring it. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Not only with the people, but I want you to understand, and I'll try and bring a sermon on it here, maybe two sermons during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is this, about covenant law. Because, see, not only is God going to make a new covenant with the people of the world, when we're resurrected and meet Christ in the air on the sea of glass, and we're given our assignments and everything, God is going to make another covenant with us. Think about that. There has to be a covenant in order for us to fulfill the positions and carry out the work that God gives to us. God is a covenant God, and he doesn't do anything without covenant. And what are we going to do when we get up there and all of this, and how are we going to understand? See, God is going to teach us, and we will enter into a spiritual covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ that will be so fantastic it will be absolutely marvelous for all eternity. Now think on that. See, let's read on here. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge them, that they are the seed the Lord has blessed. Both the resurrected saints and the children of Israel physical. Both. There will be two levels of that understanding, because we will be spiritual Israel resurrected from the dead. All right? Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the robes of salvation. Now think what that's going to be like. What are our clothing going to be as spirit beings? We can't just wear cloth. God's going to make it out of spirit. And it's going to shine, and it's going to be radiant, and it's going to be beautiful. Clothe me with the robes of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom adorns himself with ornaments, and like a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Whoa, fantastic. That's going to be something, isn't it, huh? Yes, indeed. I want you to get a glimmer of what it's going to be like to be a spirit being and rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennium. I want you to understand it as never before. I want you, as I said for the opening message, I want you to have that as the vision in your mind. I want you to have that as the hope, because we are the hope of the world. No two ways around it. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden causes that which is sown to grow, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to grow before all nations. An unheard of time, an unparalleled time. And yet, you know, something is really true about human nature. As evil and as deceitful as we are, down deep in the depths of our being, this is what we desire, isn't it? Yes. Well, God is going to bring that to pass. Now let's come just across the page to Isaiah, the 60th chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 11. All right. I could go back and we could read the whole chapter, but I won't do that. I'll let you do that. Verse 11, Isaiah 60. Aren't you glad it's just across the page? Verse 11, Therefore your gates will always be open, they will not be shut day or night, that is, Jerusalem on the earth, that men will bring unto you the wealth of the Gentiles. That's tithing. So again, I will tell you, if you don't believe in tithing, you better start thinking it over. Because you don't get the wealth or increase because of you. God makes it all possible even today. Wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve you will perish. That's what's going to happen to those who refuse to repent. Yes, those nations will be completely wasted. Now, maybe at that time there will be some who will repent of it. Who knows? The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box tree together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also, the sons of your afflictors shall come bowing down to you. And all your despisers shall bow down at the soles of your feet. See, so don't worry about persecution and name-calling. The day of vengeance is coming, and God is going to make it take place. And they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Instead of being forsaken in hatred so that no one passes through, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. So that's how beautiful Jerusalem is going to be. Now notice what God is going to give us. Notice how the economy is going to be during the millennium. I wonder what the banking industry will be like then. Sure won't be like it is today, I can guarantee you that. And I don't think there will be any bankers who will be human beings. I think they will all be the sons of God because we are going to control the economy under Christ. Notice, verse 16. You will also suck the milk of nations, suck the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now here's what's going to happen. God says, for bronze, I will bring gold. Far different from our leveraged paper fiat money today, right? Yes. For iron, I'll bring silver. For wood, I'll bring bronze. For stones, iron. I will also make you your overseers, to be peace, and your rulers to be righteousness. That's us. Think of that. Violence shall no more be heard in your land. No more crime, no more gangs. No more killing, no more murdering, no more stealing, bludgeoning. Neither wasting nor ruin within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Now that's something. That's going to be something. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. So that doesn't mean that there won't be the light of the sun or the moon. It just means that that is going to fade into importance because of God and the sons of God who are bringing the millennial reign. The sun will no more go down nor the moon withdraw, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people will also be righteousness. They will inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, so that I may be glorified. Now you talk about population explosion, read the next verse. A smallest will become a thousand, and the least one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. So there is a time and place for everything that God does, and so there will be a time for this also. Going to be quite a thing. An amazing future we can look forward to. And again, it is change you can believe in, not like Obama, who has lied and has cheated and has been the penalty and yoke around our necks. It's going to be because God is going to make it come to pass. Now let's come to Isaiah 35, page 528, and let's see how this is going to be. This is something. The wilderness and the desert shall be glad. Just think about this. Hardly any deserts left. Deserts are because of the sins of men. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, that they shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. No one's going to doubt. Does God exist? Yay! He lives in Jerusalem. This sounds like he's going to do some visiting around the world too, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Make the weak hand strong. Make the feeble knees sure. Say to the fearful of heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the full recompense of God, and he will come and save you. Now that's a message for us. Don't be fearful. Don't be depressed. Don't let things overwhelm you. Here's what else we're going to do, as God promised. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness waters shall break out, and streams in the desert. What a fantastic thing that is going to be. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground become springs of water in the home of jackals, in its lair. And it shall be a place for the reed and the rush, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. That's what we're going to teach all during the millennium, because they are going to know from the get-go, from the very start, because they will see us who have been resurrected from the dead. They will see that we are spirit beings, and we're going to tell them, this is what God wants you to be. So they will know. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it will be for him who walks in that way, but fools shall not err in it. No lion shall be there, nor any beast of prey shall go up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Well, that's us as spirit beings, and that is the physical Israelites on their way to becoming spirit beings. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Fantastic time. And I can't help but thinking, I wonder what Isaiah thought of all of these prophecies that had this. And then all of the prophecies of the war and destruction and the vengeance of God and the slaughter that's going to take place. I wonder how he thought about this, but remember God told him that it would be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little to understand the word of God. So there we have some tremendous things that are given for us here. Now, let's come to Isaiah 11. Let's see how the world and even the whole environment is going to be changed back in the restoration of all things. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, not only did the environment change to bring forth thorns and thistles and curses, but also the character of the animals changed too. Because Isaiah tells us what's going to happen here with it. This is going to be quite a thing. And I don't think we're going to have any more imported toys from China with lead paint to give to our children. We'll see that in just a minute. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Notice all the characteristics, all the things that are necessary for right government, all the things that are necessary for right worship. And what are the two major things that are wrong in the world? Religion and government, right? Yes. That's why. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's what he's going to teach. That's what Jesus had upon him when he was on the earth in his first coming in the flesh. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears. Because what did Jesus say when he was on the earth? I can do nothing of my own self. But as I hear, that is the Father, and as I see what the Father does, that's what I do. So likewise, that's what's going to be carried out during the millennium. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. No more wickedness going on in the earth at all, forever. Except just at the last of the millennium. So if you want to know about that, you better be here on the seventh day. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now notice what's going to happen to the animals. Now they had a nice comedy movie out with, what was his name? I think his name was Harris or Harrison. And it was Talk with the Animals. And with a movie, you can do that. Well, now I wonder what sort of thing we are going to have in the millennium. Because notice how the animals are going to be changed. Also, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the cub lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Wonderful toys! Away with all this plastic nonsense. Away with all these video games. Give them real animals. Let them be peaceful. Let them learn. What a fantastic thing. Oh, Mommy, may I go ride my lion this afternoon? No, son, not until you take care of your chores. Oh, Mommy, may I take care of my beautiful birds and go with them? No, daughter, not until you have cleaned up your room. Fantastic thing. Little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now that's going to be something, isn't it? I can't imagine, I don't know if it's going to happen, but when I read that, I think of this. I can't imagine a lion chewing its cud. Think of that? Well, I don't know. Here's the verse that always gets me. And the suckling child shall play at the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. So they're going to be totally changed. They shall not hurt, nor destroy it all in all my holy mountain. No, none of that's going to happen. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's something. That's what the world is going to be like. And all the knowledge of Satan is going to be removed. All the things of the occult, all the things of the demons are going to be gone. All the carnality of men with all of their schemes and all of their satanic nonsense are going to not be anywhere. That is going to be over forever. And in that day there shall be the root of Jesse standing as a banner for the people. To him the nation shall seek. Oh, come, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And his rest, the millennium, shall be glorious. And we're part of that, brother. We need to understand that. We need to realize it. Now let's come to the book of Romans and let's finish here. There are many other verses and many other sections of the Bible that we could go to, but let's come here to the book of Romans and chapter 8. And let's see the promise given to us. Let's see the inheritance that awaits us. And let us see what our work is going to be in the millennium. Now let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 14, Romans the 8th chapter. So this is quite a thing. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So as long as we're in the flesh, let's let the Spirit of God lead us. Let's let the Spirit of God teach us. Let's let the Spirit of God comfort us. Let's let the Spirit of God convert us. Let's let the Spirit of God give us the mind of Christ. These are the sons of God. Now you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we call out, Abba, Father. That's our relationship with God. That's why it's so vitally important that we maintain every day, every day, every day through prayer and study our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, because that's our fellowship with them. That is the way that God is going to work with us and mold us and create in us the character that he wants so we can do the things that we read about concerning the millennium. He is working with us, creating us for this work. That's why we're here. That's why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I want you, as I said in the opening message, I want you to have that vision. And I want you to see it. I want you to understand the hope. The Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. That's who we are. We're not part of this world. We're not part of this government. We're not part of that movement. We're not part of that organization. We are the children of God. Now, if we are children, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And as we read at the beginning, Abraham knew that he was going to be heir of the world. And we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, right? Yes. Now notice, there is a qualification. If indeed we suffer together with him, so that we may also be glorified together with him. So as you look out at the world and you look at the things that you're going through and you evaluate your life and the things that are going on around you, wherever you are, it doesn't make any difference where you are. We need to take this attitude here. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's why you need to always look up. You always need to have this hope. for the earnest, here's why, the earnest expectation of the creation itself is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. This is what the world is waiting for, and they don't know it. It's waiting for every one of us. All, from down through the century, beginning with Abel, clear down to the two witnesses, all the creation is waiting for this. Waiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope. In order that the creation itself, which we just read a lot about, might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's our goal. For we know that all the creation is groaning together and travailing until now. The world is waiting for us. That's what we need to realize. Now let's close by going to Revelation 20. And let's see the promise here that is given to us and what we're going to do in serving and reigning with Christ. Now we'll come back to Revelation 20 several times during the feast just so that we really understand it. All right. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, because we're going to sit on thrones. That means authority. But authority of love, mercy, compassion, but also authority for no nonsense and sin. And judgment was given to them. We're going to judge the world. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. That's going to happen. And for the word of God. And for those who did not worship the beast or his image and did not receive the mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were completed, and we'll talk about that on the last great day. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy. Names of God given to us, correct? Is the one who has part in the first resurrection over these, the second death, has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Brethren, this is the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is why we keep it.